God's people in America need to go on offense. Amen. Not just on defense. Offense with the gospel and with the truth of the Word of God. And so we began working on all the things. We had 11 prayer rallies. Several of the prayer rallies went 3.5 hours long. Couldn't stop them. It was great. And going over 3 hours long. God's people reading the Bible about prayer, singing about prayer, praying, testifying about prayer, getting in little groups and praying, praying in large groups. It's amazing, these prayer rallies. And then August 1st through September 10th, for 40 days, we went soul winning in Richmond. Door to door to door. Every day for 40 days. God's people. Not just the preachers. And the preacher's supposed to lead the way. But all of God's people. Lay people. Lay people getting up out of the pews and going soul winning. And I'll tell you something. We saw people saved every single day. Not a day passed that some of God's people didn't see somebody saved. Amazing. One of the sponsoring churches, we had, I think it was 48 or 49 sponsoring churches. One of the sponsoring churches, they averaged 35. Well, the Sunday before the crusade, they had 55. The 4 Sundays, the 4 weeks leading up to the God Bless America crusade, they saw 11 people walk the aisle to be saved. Amazing. We were having revival in the churches before the crusade proper, those 3 nights of revival took place. NASCAR was in town at the same time as the crusade. Disney was in town, same time as the crusade. Athletic things were going on, same time. City of Richmond getting ready for a big bicycle race where 400,000 people from around the world were going to come in. So roads were being closed off. That's what happens in the big city. But with all that going on, may I tell you that the God Bless America crusade was on the TV news 6 times. We were the lead story. That's amazing. The executive producer from NBC. NBC is not known to be a Christian network, you know. But they gave us great coverage. ABC then got involved. Once NBC got involved, ABC showed up, you know. They don't want to be outdone by somebody else, you know. And so the TV coverage came, and we're glad of it. It was on 61 radio stations live. WRVA, the news talk station, has begun using our crusade choir singing the Star Spangled Banner. That's what they use now for their Star Spangled Banner rendition. They say it's the best national anthem they've ever heard. That's what they said, because it's premiered in Richmond, and they're glad of it being premiered in Richmond. We did have a good choir, by the grace of God. Had 400 in the choir. That's my size choir, man. That's my size. As a music publisher, I like gigantic choirs, you know. I'm trying to get this music out, you know. And so our next crusade's heading to Charleston. Now, we do have a teen summit in April next year in Monroe, North Carolina. God Bless America Teen Summit. We've got 10 sponsoring churches of it in Monroe, North Carolina, trying to reach teenagers with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then next major crusade is in Charleston, West Virginia. We've had 3 steering committee meetings already over there. And another capital city. Charleston's not nearly as big as Richmond. It's still a major city, and we're trying to reach it with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every city, including Elizabeth City, North Carolina, needs the gospel. It is the gospel. It's transformation that our country needs. We're in dire, grave danger in our country. And truth has fallen in the streets. And so let's get folks back to the truth. This Bible is the truth. Amen. It is. And our church stands for the truth. And we want to get folks to the truth. We'll mention the CDs at the back of the auditorium. We've got CDs. One of our newer CDs is this one called All Along. It's by a trio out of Tennessee, and it is beautiful. 3 young people. I don't know. They're 22, 23, 24 years old. That's young, isn't it? I think so. It's remarkable to see millennials standing tall for God. And this trio, the first time I heard them sing, I went to them, I said, I want to record you. I mean, I could tell immediately this was a quality group. And I mean, they're remarkable Christians. And you'll love this CD. And then the newest installment of the Bible Songs for Kids, number 7, is here. And Miss Ann, where is Miss Ann? She's right back here. You can see her for these two or all the rest of them. She's got another, I don't know, 75 CDs out there. She's my deputy today on the CDs. And they're any size donation. And for her to be a success this weekend, she needs to get rid of all of them. No pressure. Psalm 103. Let's look in the Word of God. Psalm 103. Preacher, thank you for letting me be here. I mean that with all my heart. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. I went to a place called Piedmont Bible College. The founder of the college, Dr. Stevens, he was an old man when I got there. He's no longer the president, not capable. But I got to spend one full day with him. Me and him. It's wonderful to get to spend some time with folks who've given their whole life serving God. And one thing I wanted to know from him was, what was his favorite passage in all the Bible? It was these two verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Every one of us ought to be blessing God this morning. The title of this morning's little lesson is Revival of Blessing the Lord. Revival is for God's people. I hope you're one of God's people. I hope you're saved. If you're not saved, you need to get saved today. Amen. But there's many kinds of revivals that we need. We need a revival of prayer. How do we do that? Well, start praying. Revival of Bible reading. How do you have a revival of Bible reading? You get the Bible out and start reading it. A revival of blessing the Lord. How do you have that? You start blessing the Lord. You start praising Him. You start glorifying Him. And here's David. He's the sweet psalmist of Israel. And under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he writes these words, Bless the Lord, O my soul. It's very personal, isn't it? He said, my soul, I am going to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. David has made a determination that he himself is going to bless the Lord. Now, he's the king. He's got a lot of things to do. He's a warrior. Many things on the king's agenda to get done. And commander-in-chief, all that. A lot of things for him to do. But one thing he didn't want to miss doing is blessing the Lord. Taking time out of his life as king of Israel to bless God. It's very personal. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You know, he's talking about himself, to himself. He's talking to the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He didn't say, I'm going to try to get some angels to bless the Lord. He didn't say, I'm going to try to get all of Israel to bless the Lord. And that'd be a good thing for all of Israel to bless the Lord. Be a good thing for all of Elizabeth City to bless the Lord. Be a great thing if all of Faith Baptist Church just bless the Lord. Just praise Him. He inhabits the praise of His people, you know. I want us to get into the presence of God today. And I want us to bless the Lord today. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. He wasn't trying to get all of his neighbors to bless the Lord. He was going to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And then he's going to not forget all of God's benefits in his life, verse 2. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all his benefits. There are benefits in serving the Lord. When you're in God's family, there are benefits. You know, I have people that work at Bible Truth Music, and there's benefits. Every Friday, there's a paycheck. I liked knowing about that so much that 18 months ago, I started getting one of those things from Bible Truth Music. Woo! I served with Bible Truth Music for 26 or 27 years. Now I'm getting one. Woo! What happens to it? Goes right into the bank, save for retirement. And I only get one every other week. I got $12,000 last year, and I liked it so much, I gave myself a raise. Got $14,000 coming this year. Woo! I like it. What's it doing? All going into retirement, man. I'm slowing down. I can feel it. And I know there'll be a day that I won't be able to work as hard, so I'm trying to save up a little bit for it now. And paychecks are nice. Nice to have a benefit. Nice to have vacation. It's nice to have vacation. Paid vacation. We're going to pay you not to come to work. That sounds great. Sick leave. That's a good benefit. Health insurance. Those are good benefits. It's great to have benefits. Well, God has some benefits. Look at verse 3. Here's one of the benefits that he's blessing the Lord for. In verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Now that's fantastic. To be forgiven. When you've transgressed, when you've done flagrant wrong, when you've disobeyed the Almighty God, and to be able to go before Him and get forgiven, whoo, that's fantastic. It ought to cause every one of us to bless the Lord all day long today and shout His glory and sing His praises. Amen to that. You know, when you've wronged your wife and you go back and say, I'm so sorry I said that. I wish I hadn't said that. And she says, oh, I forgive you. Isn't that a good thing? And when the wife has messed up a little bit, the husband says, oh, I love you. I forgive you. That's a wonderful thing. And to have the forgiveness from God and to be forgiven forever. I'm glad I'm saved today. And I'm glad I'm forgiven. And I ought to be blessed, Lord, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. And then it says, who healeth all thy diseases. The measure of health that we have today comes from God. I said it that way, the measure of health. I got to go be with George Beverly Shea a few times. You know, if he called you and asked you to come over to see him, wouldn't you go see him? I did. And I went. The last time I went to see him, I was the last preacher to get to go see him. I saw him exactly 1 week before he passed away. He's 104 years old at this point. And he had written that song, he'd written a number of songs that known around the world, but the one that he's most famous for is I'd Rather Have Jesus. And he's in the Guinness World Book of Records that he sang that song in front of more people than any other, more than the Beatles sang their songs in front of people, more than any Elvis Presley, more than anybody else. The number one man who sang a song in front of more people than anybody else was George Beverly Shea singing I'd Rather Have Jesus. Praise God. And I went to see him, and he couldn't hear near the end of his life. And he liked me because I could talk loud. And he liked our hymnal. When he passed away, he had two pianos in his house. He had an organ in his house. And on every one of those instruments, he had one of those Bible truth hymns. He liked it. I was glad he liked it. And I was about to leave. I'd spent about an hour with him, and I had to go preach. And I said, now, Papa Shea, that's what he'd like to be called. I said, now, Papa Shea, I said, what can I pray for you today for? He said, I want to thank God for my salvation. Every time I went, I had him give me his testimony when he got saved when he was 12 years old. I just liked hearing it. And his dad was a preacher up there in Canada and all that. And I said, now what can I pray for you for? He said, I want to thank God for my salvation. I said, wonderful. I said, now what else? He said, I want to thank God for my measure of health. That was the second thing he said. Now, at this point, he can't stand up. He's still got a good grip. He's in his right mind. He's a cheerful man. He's an encouraging man. But he can't stand up on his own strength. He still has a good appetite. We had sandwiches that day. He liked eating sandwiches, you know. But he's not got much health there. He's 104. But what he said is, I want to thank God for my measure of health. What's your measure of health today? He said, well, I'm not 100%. When was the last time any of us were 100%? He said, preacher, when I get to be 100% healthy, I'll come back and see you at church. Then none of us are coming. You know? On my best days, I'm about 70%, you know. That's on my really good days. Oh, but we ought to be blessing God who healeth our diseases. You know, I was talking to an atheist this past week. I said, now, wait a minute. Well, the doctor cuts on people and it sutures them up. I said, how do they get well? There's not a doctor alive who can unite two cells together. Only God can do that, friends. There is a God. And if you're saved, we ought to be blessing the Lord for many things. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Then it says this, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. All of our safety comes from God. You know, we had this crusade. We honored first responders. We're glad for all the policemen and firemen and all these different first responders. Had the fire chief of Chesapeake, Virginia, get up there and testify as a firefighter. He testified how Jesus Christ saved him when he was 23 years old. And we saw first responders get saved. Amen. I'm glad for first responders. God uses them to help us remain safe. I'm glad for our military. I'm glad for our veterans, and I'm glad for our active military. 7 different branches of uniformed folks for America. Good. I'm glad for all of them. But ultimately, all this safety comes from God. You know that. It's God who has kept our country relatively safe. We were attacked, you know, and we've got violence going on inside of our country. I believe this. I believe if everybody in America got saved and got back to this Bible right here, all of the problems of America would absolutely diminish. There'd be just virtually nothing. We wouldn't need policemen. If we followed the first 8 and 10 verses of Matthew chapter 5, those Beatitudes, America would be a different place. Read Psalm 119 over and over every single day. If everybody in a country read Psalm 119 over and over every single day, our country would be a different place. Amen to that. And when you start with John 3:16 as a country. But all of our safety comes from God. It's a gift from God. I've been in some bad places in America. I was in a city up in the Northeast. I was out soul winning. I was going door to door in a pretty rough neighborhood, man. It was pretty rough. And I looked just like this, and I was going door to door by myself. And the police began circling the block. Finally, they stopped me and said, "Sir, do you know where you are?" I said, "Well, of course I know where I am." They said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm going out here telling these folks about Jesus Christ and trying to get them to come to my revival meeting." They said, "Well, preacher, we need you here." I said, "Now you just keep doing what you're doing, and we're going to keep circling the block and try to keep you alive." Well, now I'm for that. Keep circling the block. I got 14 folks out. By the grace of God, I'm nothing. God's everything. But by the grace of God, 14 of them came to church with me. Saw some of them get saved. Listen, the people in the slums need the Lord. I told them in that city, it's not an economic problem. It is not an economic problem. You can just throw money at that place. It's going to remain slums. It's a heart problem, ladies and gentlemen. It's a heart problem that needs to change there. But listen, this safety comes from God, keeping us from destruction. That's God Almighty who's doing that and helping us. It says there in verse 3, "Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." The most often found phrase in the entire Bible, the phrase you find more than any other phrase in the Bible, is Bible conference. The phrase you find the most is this: "His mercy endureth forever." I'm glad for God's new mercies even this very morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless the Lord. Then it says in verse 5, "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Verse 8, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger." Thank the Lord for that. "And plenteous in mercy." Verse 11, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." Back in verse 1 it says, "Now bless the Lord, O my soul." I made myself a little list of 10 ways we ought to be blessing the Lord. That was all introduction, all right? I've got 10 little things that we'll go through fast. We've got, I don't know, about 15 minutes. So we're going to take about a minute, minute and a half on each of them. 10 ways that we at Faith Baptist Church today ought to be blessing the Lord. Number one, I put on my list. Number one, with my lips, with my mouth, today I ought to be blessing the Lord. My family ought to hear me blessing the Lord. People that I come in contact with today ought to hear me glorifying God, blessing the Lord, praising the Lord, saying the word hallelujah, saying the word amen, saying the words, praise the Lord, glory. All those are Bible words, and they're good words. And our people around us ought to hear us. People around us ought to be hearing us bless the Lord today. So with my lips, now should I let any evil thing cross my lips today? No. Should I gossip? No. Slander? No. Tell lies? Tell wicked things? No, no. I ought to have a guard on my lips. Ask God to help me to say the right things today. And with my lips, I ought to be blessing the Lord. Number two, with my eyes. With my eyes, I ought to be trying to bless the Lord. With my eyes and with your eyes. Should I be looking on things that I shouldn't look at? No. Should my eyes be lifted to heaven? Yes. I should be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. And with my eyes, I ought to be trying to bless the Lord, and I ought to be trying to praise the Lord with my eyes. So with my lips, with my eyes, number three, with my feelings. With my feelings, I ought to be trying to bless the Lord. Now, you know, some folks have these feelings of rebellion. I saw it even this past week. Rebellion's an awful thing. Rebelling against authority. Rebelling against God. Those feelings of rebellion. That's not of the Lord. That's not the right kind of feelings. And losing control of your feelings. Losing your self-discipline. One man there in Hampton said this. He said, well, if it comes up in me, it just comes out of me. Well, that's not good. You ought to suppress some of that. Or say no to some of that. Or have what the Bible talks about, temperance and self-control. With my feelings, I ought to be trying to bless the Lord. Now, you know, ladies have more feelings generally than men do. But men, boy, they can get angry fast, can't they? And they get over it fast. See, men's anger is like a microwave. It gets hot fast. Then it cools down pretty fast. Women, now they're not microwaves when it comes to anger. They're crock pots when it comes to anger. It gets hot slowly, and it cools off slowly. When she says, leave me alone for a few minutes, leave her alone. But with my feelings, or with my emotions, I ought to be expressing love toward the brethren. Ought to have some goodness in my heart. And I ought to be trying to bless the Lord with the depths of my emotions. Number four, with my mind. With my mind, I ought to be trying to bless the Lord. Now, should I let my mind think about wicked things? No, there's a battle for the mind. And I ought to keep my mind clean and ought to fill it up with right things. And don't be thinking on those evil things. No, bless the Lord. And with your memory, don't dwell on everything that somebody's done to you wrong your entire life. Forget it. Forgetting those things which are past. And keep pressing, man. Forget those. I had a preacher do me wrong. He just did me wrong. Well, sometime later, he called me and said, let's do such and such. I said, great, let's do it. I said to my wife, Renee, man's first name is Steve. I said, Brother Steve wants me to do such and such with him. I said, yeah. My wife said, don't you remember what he did to you? I said, oh, I forgot about that. I said, it'll be all right. I said, we're going to work at it. I went to my office. I said, me and Brother Steve going to do such and such. One of my workers said, don't you remember what he did to you last time? I said, I had forgotten about that till my wife reminded me. And my worker said, we're just trying to be a blessing, Brother Fox. You know, your workers love you. Your spouse loves you. They don't want to see you hurt. But let's not be that. Let's forget those things. You know, let's work together in unity and harmony and in the cause of Christ. And let's not hold bitterness forever. Don't dwell on that forever. It's not of any value. You know, sitting around and with your mind thinking about every bad memory you can come up with. Forget some of those things. But with your memory, remember what God has done for you. Amen to that. The blessings that He's poured out upon every single one of us. The blessing. With my mind, I ought to be trying to bless the Lord. And with my memory, with my reason. Whatever reasoning ability that I have with my mind, I ought to be trying to bless the Lord. Trying to figure out ways to get things done in the cause of Christ. Amen to that. Sitting around with using whatever reasoning ability this mind has for the glory of God, whatever insight that you have, whatever amount of logic that you have, whatever rationality that you have, whatever intellect that you have, use it to bless the Lord. Amen. David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." Number five. All right, now, let me explain number five on my list. Number five, with my volitional nature. Okay, Brother Fox, so you did go to college. You can use the word volitional. I use that word a lot for some reason. I learned the meaning of it, learned the usage of it. Volitional nature. My volition. Like at Bible Truth Music, I've told our staff many times in writing this music that we want to produce music that touches people's head, their heart, and their volition. What do we mean by volition? You understand the mind, the intellect here, the heart, you get that. But volition, it means your will. It means your choosing. All of us get to make choices. I have a volitional nature. I get to make choices. And today, as God's servant, I need to use my volitional nature, my choosing ability, to choose in such a way that it would bless my Lord. Making every choice the way a Christian ought to make the choice. We Christians, we know what to do, don't we? I mean, pretty much, we know what to do. Do we know that we ought to be honest? Well, amen. We understand that. We've been taught that. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Now, we understand we ought to be honest. Well, let's just choose to be honest all day long. And on down the list. Should we be covetous today? No, I need to make a choice. No, not that. I ought to be submissive. I ought to be helpful. I ought to show kindness. The Bible teaches all these things. And so I ought to choose to do that all day long. And you, all day long, we ought to be trying to use our volitional nature, our choosing ability, to always choose the way a Christian ought to, never to choose to do wrong, never to choose to violate what God says to do. But like my Lord said, our Savior Jesus, He said, "Not my will, but thine be done." Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. So with number one on my list, I put down my lips. Number two, my eyes. Number three, my feelings. Number four, my mind. Number five, my volitional nature. I have decided to follow Jesus. I make that decision. Number six, with my spirit. With my spirit and with your spirit, we ought to be trying to bless the Lord. Should I allow my spirit to be discouraged at all times? No. Should I be downcast at every turn of life? No, no, no. With my very nature, with the loftiest powers I can try to have inside my spirit, I mean some enthusiasm for the things of God. Amen. You find folks that just have a right spirit about them? Don't you like being around folks like that? They just have a generous spirit, a benevolent spirit, a charitable spirit. Some people, they're like high tide. When you're around them, your boat just floats a little higher. You know what I'm saying? I mean, things are just better when you're around a friend like that. that just has the right spirit about them. And all of us ought to have that spirit about us that a Christian ought to have. So number six on my list is with my spirit, I ought to be trying to bless the Lord. Number seven, with my body. With my body and with your body, we ought to be trying to bless the Lord. Should I get into sin with this physical frame that God has given me? I mean, size 50 coat, size 40 pants, size 11 shoe. That's enough of that, man. I got this physical frame, you know. And with this physical frame, I ought to be trying to bless the Lord with it. Stand in the gap for the Lord. Stand up for the Lord. Walk for God. Use my body for the Lord to do His work. Using whatever you've got as far as your physical strength, with its moves, with the reactions of your body, with your strength and with your weakness. Blessing the Lord. The fellow who started Salvation Army, William Booth. I believe he's a godly man. I read about, I'm not for everything Salvation Army does today. I know. But William Booth, I believe, is a godly man. He's got to be an old man. He lost his eyesight. And his grown son came to him and said, "Dad, you can't even see anymore. What are you going to do now?" He said, "Oh, son, it's easy. I tried to serve my Lord with my eyes. Now I'm going to try to serve the Lord without my eyes." Boy, that's a great testimony, isn't it? Just using whatever body you've got, whatever shape you're in, to use it to try to bless the Lord with your body. Number eight, with my eternal soul, I ought to be trying to bless the Lord with whatever spiritual energy, whatever spiritual insight I have, whatever spiritual drive that you have. We ought to be trying to bless the Lord from the very depths of our being. We ought to go with David here and say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." Number nine, with my interest. With my interest. What are you interested in? As a boy, I had a little bit of interest in what they call the Big Red Machine. What's that? The Cincinnati Reds, that baseball team. Baseball. What is baseball? It's 3 minutes of action spread out over 3 hours. That's about right, you know. I've gone to two Major League Baseball games. I enjoyed them. I like that organ playing. Dom, bom, 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 bom. Without the organ and with all of the things that go on, it's boring. But they have a lot of stuff. And the peanuts. I like all that stuff, you know. We have a good time going to Major League. I went to a minor league baseball game, the last one of the season of the Richmond team there. In fact, I brought 64 of my friends. We all went and had a good time. I was chaplain for the day for the team. Had a good time. I've been with the Crawdads there in Kannapolis, being their chaplain for a day. And I like baseball to some degree. I've got a baseball card collection. Got three cards. All three of them Johnny Bench, you know. I've written him back and forth trying to win him to Christ. He's a member of a Church of Christ. I don't know that he's saved. I want Johnny Bench to be saved. I want everybody in this world to be saved. I got a little interest in baseball. I got a little interest in different things. My wife and I play games. We have interest. We should only be interested in things that a Christian ought to be interested in. I shouldn't let my interest go into things that are wrong, wicked devices. Listen, there's every kind of drink today for people to get blow their mind on. There's every kind of device, and there's all kind of wicked things in this world today. Oh, no, I ought to be interested in things that interest a Christian. And then number 10, I wrote this one down last, with my energy. Whatever amount of energy that I have left, I ought to be using it to bless my Lord. And you ought to use your energy and your convictions and your honor and your sensitivity and your impulses, everything about you. We ought to be blessing the Lord today. Let's just make up our minds right now that we're going to be people that praise God all day long. Would you stand with me? It says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Everyone standing, please. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. I ought to be blessed, my Lord, today. He saved me. He gave me all these benefits. Now with heads bowed, is everyone in this room saved? See, this lesson has been for Christians. You know something? You can admire Jesus and not be saved. You can sing about Jesus and not be saved. You can write a book about Jesus and not be saved. One thing you can't do is you can't call upon the name of the Lord and not be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've never called on the Lord to save you, you need to do it today. Lord, I hope and pray that this Sunday school class has been what you wanted it to be. You've taught me everything that I tried to tell these folk. You've used preachers to give me truths from the Bible and explain them to me. And Lord, now I want to be careful to try to explain your Bible to others and get us to dwell on it together. And I want with all of my heart for me and my family to bless you all day long. Please do a mighty work in my family. And Lord, I pray you do a mighty work today in our church, Faith Baptist, and in this entire Bible conference. Thank you, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand right where you are for a moment.